The Adventures of Bluebird and Toad. Long ago, on a secluded farm in a rural portion of the state of Montana, lived an old retired couple hiding from some of the realities which tend to suffocate us all. Their names were Ed and Zelda.
My name's Ed.
Out of all the people they had met during the construction of their farmhouse and much-needed recording studio, two stuck out the most, Bluebird and Toad. Through the years, they became the best of friends and also helped in the daily activities needed to run the farm and the studio. I had met them on my journey to Canada in hopes of finding the perfect road manager for my cover band. And when I look back at that very enlightening winter, I realize it must have been destiny that brought me to Ed and Zelda's doorstep that cold November morning.
It must be density.
It's destiny, stupid.
My microbus had broken down on the interstate, and all I had with me was my map, a 12-pack, and bass player, a friend of mine.
Hey, man.
Soon after we began walking, we started getting really cold.
Hey, look, there's a farmhouse.
He exclaimed, and just over the hill was a farmhouse. So off we went. When we passed the well in the front yard, out popped a brightly colored toad, playing a set of equally colored bongos. Bass player and I were astonished at the rhythmic patterns that were coming from this little fellow. Suddenly, as if rehearsed, out of the well sprang a bird, whistling the most beautiful melody we'd ever heard. In between sets, they introduced themselves as the famous rock duo known all over the world as Bluebird and Toad.
That kicks ass.
I remember thinking, wow, these guys are kick-ass. They invited us up to eat supper and afterwards jam with them up at the main house with Ed and Zelda, but we told them we were only interested in the telephone to call a tow truck and get my minivan to town. Zelda, pro bass player, she wouldn't do that because someone in town was running around stealing minivans. She recommended that we tow it to the barn so that one of their friends could fix it for nothing.
Cool.
That fit our budget perfectly, so we agreed.
Put that in the barn.
After dinner, Ed brought us to his infamous studio where we met all kinds of monster musicians. Ed and Zelda themselves played a mean banjo and violin. Their friends would just magically appear when the music would start. First to arrive that special evening was a tiny little guy named Fred Cricket from Nebraska. He was an oboe player out of Oshkosh that occasionally played with Keith Richards on some of his children's albums. He had a hard time dragging his oboe around, but once he was settled in somewhere, he was the best oboe player you ever heard. A little while later, when we were all playing in G-sharp, came a most peculiar fellow named Sippin' Duck. He was a drunken duck that played the hell out of a washboard. His credits were known all through Canada, but he was primarily on standby for Ozzy's new band. The eight of us spent all night drinking and recording with glee as we dove into the depths of our own unique capabilities. It's all coming to me, man. As the sun came up, Bluebird said to Toad, "We're running out of beer." When out of nowhere came a deep voice that seemed to defy normalcy. It was the ever so elusive, gender-challenged Letitia Cott. The voice that poured out from that beak could only be compared to Bing. As a rooster, Letitia couldn't sing a note, but when she put some heels on and dressed up as a chicken, every top artist wanted her. She actually did a bunch of stuff for Queen before they hired Freddie Mercury. However, more important than that was the fact that she brought a lot of beer with her and enough to carry us through the rest of the recording session. And what a session it was.
I'll take a beer.
Yeah, I'll take a beer.
Toad was taking a breather while Bluebird explained the fundamentals of whistling to us when we heard another knock on the door. Yes, you guessed it. It was Pig Ralph, the community banker who also played jazz sax for Chick Corea through the 70s, until Pig Ralph's wife got pregnant and had to stop touring. Only thing with that is, it wasn't Ralph's baby. So to this day, they're not speaking. Anyway, that pig could jam. The music started filling out rather nicely, which makes for a real nice recording. When, much to our surprise, Bluebird and Toad began passing around a bottle of Jack.
Cool.
Let me tell you, That was just what we needed.
I'll take some Jack.
Before we knew it, we had the whole neighborhood listening to us. Over by the well was a tall, weather-beaten looking guy who was really staring a bass player in me. He finally came up and said,
"Hey, you know, you guys sound awesome. You ever thought of forming a band?"
We humbly smiled at each other while we passed the bottle around some more. Then he started handing out his cards. Turns out he was a band manager slash producer with ties all over the globe who was looking for the right sound to back his new idea he had for a major television event. Everything was going okay until Bluebird said to Toad, "How do you like that? Just when it's starting to sound good, in comes some putts wanting a piece of the pie."
Hey, I'm a big man, you know. I know a lot of people in the business, you know.
Strange little man didn't like that comment, but ever so wittingly, Zelda took control of the conversation and said,
"Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't catch your name. Are you seriously considering us for your soundtrack? Whatever it is you're doing?"
The ugly man replied,
"Yes, I am. My name is Sam Sleestall. From St. Smegma, Saskatchewan. I've been searching all over for a band just like you guys.
Wow.
Would you help me?"
When the teacher started whispering something to Pig Ralph, I turned to Fred Cricket from Nebraska and asked, "Hey Fred, have you ever been to St. Smegma, Saskatchewan?" He told me he'd heard of the town but had never been there. It just sounded fake to me. So anyway, his bass player tried to pry the bottle of Jack from Sippin' Duck's hand. We all talked it over and decided we will try and fulfill the obligation that this cat was trying to bestow upon us. Imagine that, a 10-piece band with a dude named Sleestone running the show. I was a little nervous about the whole thing. Besides, this was the first time I'd ever played with an oboe player, and the microbus was broken. We spent the rest of the day working out the details and drinking more Jack when Sam finally came clean and said he'd already booked us for a show in Honduras.
"Hey, I was in a hell of a spot when I heard you guys jamming from the road over there,"
he said as he pointed up the hill.
"So I took the liberty of booking you guys before I even met you. And I'm serious about that TV show. You know, if you hook me up on this one, I'll bring you with me to Hodgepodgekins to record your first album, and I'll even produce it."
We all figured he was full of shit, but we all chipped in and fixed the microvan anyway. Get it ready for the road. I wrote my mom and told her not to expect me. Bass player did the same.
Tell her everything's gonna be just fine.
Mom.
I don't know, Ed.